important things to talk about, but the first thing I want to do is very important. That's acknowledge some of those who have helped bring us to this morning. Now, this has been a process of nearly 2 years involving consultation with hundreds of people who represent hundreds of thousands of Hoosiers, both patients and providers, people interested in healthcare from every direction. And I want to acknowledge a few of those who are with us here today and thank them. I'm going to do this by organization, if I may, in the interest of brevity, with a few exceptions. I want to thank the American Cancer Society, American Heart Association, American Lung Association, the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids, the Indiana Minority Health Coalition, the Indiana Tobacco Prevention and Cessation Organization, Hoosier Faith and Health Coalition, and the Indiana State Medical Association, the Indiana Academy of Family Physicians, the Indiana Immunization Coalition, Indiana Primary Care Association. I want to mention very specifically those hospitals who collectively provide probably more than two-thirds of all the charity or uncompensated care in this state. That would be Clarion, Wishart, or the Health and Hospital Corporation, and the Methodist Hospitals of Gary. Their presidents are with us today and have contributed a great deal to the thought that went into this plan. I want to thank members of the Indiana General Assembly who've been leaders in this area for a long time. Sorry to omit anyone, but I must mention Senator Vi Simpson, Representatives Charlie Brown and Tim Brown, all of whom have carried the banner for the plans we're going to discuss this morning and have helped shape our thinking, and again, have been people who've been leaders in this area a long time and should be thanked for it. And Senator Pat Miller, who, in addition to her longtime leadership, has offered to be the Senate sponsor of the bill which will attempt to bring protection, prevention, and peace of mind to hundreds of thousands of Hoosiers. Can I have a general expression of appreciation for all these outstanding people? I want to say just a word or two of preface. In our administration, we believe in results. We search for action steps that will have high impact, that will be equation changing, that will deliver tangible and measurable improvement or difference if carried into effect. From our very first conversation almost 2 years ago, Dr. Judy Monroe, Indiana's Commissioner of Health, and I have talked about that objective in a state that has many, many improvements to make if we are to be a healthy state, a state where people lead long and high-quality lives, a state where health insurance is affordable to those who don't have it now, but also to those who have it and are paying unnecessarily high prices because of the poor health or the shifted costs from those who don't. There is no shortage of things that could be a part of this plan, and there will be more to do after this plan is in effect. But we have been looking for action steps, as I say, of high impact. We think we have identified them, and I'm here to talk to you about them today, but I hope you'll receive them in that spirit and know that this does not pretend to be a complete answer, but it does claim to be a very large step forward toward the goal of a much healthier state in Indiana. Let me test the technology once again and your patience by taking you through this plan, and I hope you'll agree with me that the subject matter here is important enough to spend a few moments and delve into it in a little more depth than some press conferences permit. Another statement of preface. We are not here to talk about taxes or revenues. We are here to talk about health. Indiana's fiscal health is now good. After a decade of deficits, we have an honestly balanced budget. Revenues exceeded expenditures in the year just passed. They will again this year. They will every year going forward. And that must be the case completely irrespective of the plan we present. Because it is necessary for a health purpose, there would be new revenues associated with the plan I'm going to show you. They must all, in my opinion, be reinvested in the better health of Hoosiers. This has nothing to do with the fiscal condition of the state. We have dealt with that and will separately. But if the fiscal health of Indiana is now sound, our physical health is not, and you know these and many other data points that illustrate that Hoosiers suffer unnecessarily and that collectively we suffer from high health care costs as a result. You know that smoking is among the most pronounced of those problems and the most expensive. And I should also say the most alarming, given that in the most recent measured year, we not only had the second highest rate in America, but that rate went up the wrong direction in stark contrast to the trend almost everywhere else. Why make cigarettes more expensive? A very simple syllogism. Indiana cannot be a healthy state with the second highest rate of smoking. We will not have a low rate of smoking with some of the cheapest cigarettes in America. It is that simple. This isn't a matter of opinion. This is a matter of empirical fact proved in state after state and national data. There is a very direct connection between the cost of tobacco products and their rate of use, especially among young people. The economists in the room would call this elasticity, but it is very real in this case. So there is no strategy. We will do all the other things. We will advertise. We will evangelize. We will promote and publicize studies. We will teach our children. But there is no strategy for low rate of smoking in Indiana that leaves the price of the product lower than almost anywhere else. And so I say again, I'm tempted to make you repeat it after me three times. This is not about raising state revenue. This is a health plan we're meeting on today, not a tax plan. Data also familiar to most people in the room. Indiana, well down in the bottom tier in terms of the price of tobacco products, specifically cigarettes. Cigarettes here cost less than one-fourth what they cost in the most expensive places in this country. And many of these states to the left of us, well, left and right of us on this bar, are in the process of raising the cost of cigarettes right now. If I am to sum up what we hope to achieve with this leap forward in health, it would be protection, prevention, and peace of mind. Protection of our children, specifically, prevention of diseases, both childhood and adult, and the peace of mind that must come, particularly to low-income Hoosiers who are vulnerable this morning and every day to that expensive health care event that they have no way to pay for. And our plan is to make cigarettes more expensive in Indiana, to use all the revenue from that to reinvest in a new plan for better health care for Hoosiers by reducing smoking, immunizing children, and providing health care coverage on a very broad scale to low-income Hoosiers who do not have it or do not have access to it today. Again, Judy and I and all those who have helped us have zeroed in on these three steps as the three most effective, highest impact, nearest term steps that will touch the lives and improve the lives of our most vulnerable citizens and our children. And I hope you'll come to agree. Reducing smoking in Indiana in three steps. The fundamental step, once again, is a more expensive product. No strategy that fails to take action on that front is likely to be successful. But in addition, we want to restore that is to say more than triple, our spending on anti-tobacco activities to the level that the CDC suggests for a state our size. We once were a leader in anti-tobacco activity, but as the state got further and further into the red, this fund was plundered in order to pay other bills. We should put it back. We should be as vigorous as the national standards suggest in reaching people and reaching children in particular. I'll point out to you later that the third leg of the anti-tobacco effort, in addition to a more expensive product, a fully vigorous anti-smoking campaign, is making free preventive care in the form of smoking cessation to the newly covered, to the people covered under our health insurance plan. Three major steps that surely would help to bring smoking down in Indiana, and the health care costs and consequences that high smoking rates place on the system, bring those down at the same time. It's a well-established fact, especially among young people, that a higher price leads to fewer smokers. Fewer young people take it up or become addicted to the product if they have just begun to experiment. And this data, reflecting experience in other states, suggests the likely trajectory that a 25-cent increase in the price of the product would probably cut the number of young smokers, this is defined as 6th to 12th grade, by more than a quarter. If we were to raise the price by 50 cents, it would reduce, we believe, the number of young smokers by more than half. I have a confession to make. Until Judy Monroe showed me the data a year and a half or less ago, I guess, I regret to tell you I did not know how poor our immunization record is in Indiana, that we are one of the lowest states in America. This is almost entirely concentrated in our low-income and minority populations. 22% of Hoosier kids are not immunized at the appropriate time against diseases like diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis, polio, hep B, measles, mumps, rubella, and so forth. They suffer, their families do, their classmates do. It is also an established matter of fact that there is an enormous return in terms of lower health care costs, lower societal costs from each dollar invested here. Let's make sure every single Hoosier kid, no matter what family they come from, gets immunized against the diseases they deserve never to suffer from. And third, it's no news to anyone that in Indiana, even more than in other states, the rate of people without health insurance has been rising. Who are these folks and how many are there? On any given day, there are between 500,000 and 600,000 people without health insurance and not eligible for it at their workplace. Beyond this, there are people who are simply between jobs and will have it shortly. And there are people who are eligible but are choosing, for their own reasons, not to utilize the service. Many are young and think they're bulletproof, for instance. But there are 500,000 to 600,000 people who have no access to health insurance today. And of that number, close to two-thirds are low-income by a fair definition, here, the 200% of the federal poverty line is what we have chosen as that definition. So the center of the bullseye in this problem, to me, is the 350,000 Hoosiers who are low income and have no access to health insurance today. Let's be under no illusions that these are not expensive folks, that with essentially no exceptions, they receive care, but we deliver it in the most expensive and least effective and least efficient way possible, and then pass the bills to everyone else in a variety of ways. We spend money, and we must spend more, on community health clinics that reach many of these families. There are obviously massive transfers in government, both federal and state, to the hospitals, like Clarion and Gary Methodist and Fort Wayne Lutheran and, of course, Wishard, who treat these patients often at the emergency room, again, in the most expensive way, and recover very, very little of that money. The biggest way in which we pay for the failure to get health insurance to low-income Hoosiers is by raising the premiums on everybody else. And the estimates, and this has been studied ad infinitum, are that it's close to $1,000 per family. This is a terrific burden on small businesses who want to provide health insurance but whose premiums are pushed up because of the hidden subsidy, the covert subsidy, and the very inefficient way in which we get health care to our uninsured citizens. So this is everybody's problem. We seek to deliver peace of mind and insurance and better care to 350,000 citizens. But everyone who is insured, every business that is trying to provide that insurance will benefit, and quickly, if we are successful. I hope this is well understood. It's a very central fact. This is everybody's issue, directly or indirectly. Let me talk about the way we seek to do this and tell you that we have been working on this a long time. And I'm very excited that I believe we have found an approach which is very practical. It is very simple as anything can be in this particular world, and can be effective if we can cooperate to make it real. It starts with insurance coverage provided to the low-income citizens of this state that essentially will remove from their lives the fear of a catastrophic or expensive event. At its center is the power account, $1,100 per person, $2,200 if it's a couple, made up of contributions from the individual who is covered, the rest from the state. The contributions would be capped firmly at 5% of gross income. That's the maximum exposure that a person or a family would have. Everything above that would be protected by the insurance account, by the insurance policy. A very important innovation. It would make Indiana a true leader. It is one of the things the people I have visited with in Washington are most intrigued about, is we propose to offer on top of the insurance coverage and the $1,100 power account, which is under the total control of the family, $500 of free preventive care. We want every such family, we don't want a single family to avoid taking preventive steps in order to conserve dollars. And in fact, we would not only make the care free, but incentivize its use in a way I will mention in a second. But physicals and basic screenings like mammograms and cholesterol tests, and most importantly, smoking cessation. Again, the third way in which we hope to reduce the incidence of smoking in Indiana: higher price, more aggressive information, anti-smoking programs, and for perhaps as many as a couple hundred thousand citizens, the opportunity and the inducement, if they smoke, to enroll in a smoking cessation program at no charge. The covered services would be typical of most such plans. Not every single service would be covered, but those things most likely to lead to better health outcomes. And once again, very importantly, the citizens' contribution, the covered patients' contribution, limited to 5% of gross income. A quick description of the power account, reflecting personal wellness and responsibility. very central here. I think the future of healthcare for everyone in America. Let's be a leader in introducing consumerism and personal choice once again into the healthcare decisions. We will be saying to the people who benefit from this new coverage, we believe in you. We trust you. We will provide information and answer all your questions, but we believe you can make the best decisions about your health care and your family. We're going to give you the power. We're going to give you the tools to do that. The contribution's capped. I'll show you an illustration at 5% of family income. At the end of the year, any unspent funds in the power account belong to the beneficiary. And as long as they have taken advantage of the preventive care options that are relevant to them by gender or otherwise, then they can take the money if they need it for other purposes beyond the amount necessary to start the fund for the next year. Here's an example. A single adult at an income level of $9,800 would be $490, $40 a month, the rest provided by the state, and, of course, the insurance coverage and the preventive care on top of that. At $20,000, which is $19,600, that's the federal poverty line. You see the numbers. Once again, 5% of income, less than $1,000 total contribution, total exposure, all the rest provided by the plan. Here it is for a family of four, therefore a power account of $2,200, $1,100 for each adult, and the comparable contributions from the family and the plan. The children here, of course, would be covered by the CHIPS program. If they aren't already, we would enroll them. Let me talk about the amount of revenue and therefore the amount of people covered. The restoration of our anti-smoking programs is a fixed number, about $24 million. To immunize those children who the system is missing today, $11 million. My proposal is that all the rest, whatever that turns out to be used to cover uninsured citizens in our state. I believe that the price of cigarettes should go up at least 25 cents in this state and perhaps more. I think it is for the legislature to decide the exact amount, and we should talk about it. I've tried to craft a plan that offers the legislature a lot of flexibility. The higher the price of the tobacco products, the more people we can cover. And I think that's a classic, really, set of decisions for the legislature to weigh and balance. So, for instance, on the left, a 25-cent increase in the cost of cigarettes generates $130 million, along with the 5% contributions of participants, the use of some of the money, which is now subsidizing hospitals for uncompensated care. That's the DSH you see there, disproportionate share hospitals. We would, some of the money in the that now provides care in that inefficient way would be used for this purpose instead. And then in the yellow and green boxes, the federal matching funds, which are critical to making this all work on the scale we want it to work, you could cover at the bottom 120,000 Hoosiers, roughly one-third of that target population, a huge step forward and bringing peace of mind to the people of our state. On the right, just for instance, a 50-cent increase in the cost of the tobacco product works out to cover about 200,000, more than half of those who tonight will go to bed without the peace of mind we want them to have. Let me then just summarize what we're about here. Protection, particularly of our children, from the temptations of smoking, from the diseases of childhood. Prevention in many forms, prevention of smoking in the state, but especially the prevention of disease through the wider uses of the common sense steps that we all should take to head off healthcare problems and lead better lives and save costs for everyone contributing to the insurance pool. And of course, the peace of mind that we want every Hoosier to have, knowing that their lives and their hard work will not be suddenly taken away by a healthcare event that they have no way to pay for. All this while promoting and in an atmosphere that trusts Hoosiers, views every one of our fellow citizens as fully capable and deserving to make the decisions that affect their own lives, not to have them made for them by a company somewhere or a healthcare professional whom they have no choice but whose judgments they have no choice but to accept. I'm very excited about our prospects for success here. Like other issues I could mention, like full-day kindergarten, I think this is an ideal topic for us to advance on in a cooperative fashion, in a bipartisan fashion. Much of the energy for, and much of the passion that has always gone into the problem of the uninsured comes from people in the other party, from mine. I think our contribution has been to craft a plan which can work, and work in a short time frame, to accomplish the goal that I think everybody agrees on. So, knowing that this big leap forward for a healthier Indiana can only happen if we do cooperate and pull together, I lay this before this learned audience, but also every citizen of this state, and say, let's go do this. Thank you very much.
What are you waiting for? Let's go past this.